As I mentioned, we'll have a brief presentation by Steve Kivelson about what the CARE effect is all about.
Okay, so this is off the cuff, and this is experimental data with no data, so I apologize, but the CARE effect measurements have been mentioned several times, and while I didn't do the experiments, I've been puzzled about them for long enough that I think I can at least tell you what they are. So they have a method of measuring the CARE angle, which is something like an anomalous Hall conductance at finite frequency. And so this is zero if there are any vertical mirror planes. And it's also probably zero if time reversal symmetry. Is preserved. So there's conflict in the literature about this. We copied some results at some stage from respectable sources. At least those results have been shown, we've proven are wrong. There's a putative theorem by Bert Halperin, and because it's by Bert Halperin, it's almost certainly correct, but I don't completely understand it. At any rate, as a working hypothesis, these two symmetries imply that the CARE effect is zero.
Steve, so do both symmetries have to be preserved at the same time?
No, so if any of those symmetries is present, the CARE angle is zero.
Steve, could you draw a challenge?
Yeah, so the
in-plane symmetry is what you're talking about.
So the mirror planes, if I'm shining light down on a sample like this, it's any mirror, if there's any mirror perpendicular to the plane. Okay, so those, so presumably it's an extremely good way of measuring symmetry breaking. Let me just describe what the results look like when they do this on strontium ruthenate. This is the cubic ferromagnet. As a function of temperature, what you see is as you cool down, sometimes you see a positive CARE effect, sometimes you see a negative CARE effect, sometimes the positive CARE effect is big, sometimes it's small. This is exactly what you expect from spontaneous symmetry breaking. If you cool it down in an up magnetic field, turn off the up magnetic field and measure it on heating, you see this curve. And if you cool it in a down magnetic field, turn off the magnetic field and measure it on heating, you see this curve.
This is T
curve. But the same thing applies to a number of other interesting systems. It applies to the P-wave superconductor. It applies to the superconducting state of uranium, ruthenium-2, silicon-2, and it applies with some discussion to the superconducting state of uranium platinum 3. Yes?
So which systems does it not apply to?
Okay. So so there are lots of systems where you don't see a CARE effect. For instance, you don't see it in general in systems undergoing structural phase transitions without magnetism. It rejects purely birefringent effects.
So and Steve, SR2 RU04 and UR2 SI2 is the onset temperature, the superconducting temperature, or a higher one, or what?
So in this, it's exact, within error, it's the superconducting transition temperature. this is complicated, can I come back to this? And this one is also complicated, can I come back to that if you want to know?
Okay, no, I don't want to know that.
Okay. So it's very clear here that it's measuring the breaking, spontaneous breaking of symmetries, time reversal, and chiral symmetries are broken. It does everything it's supposed to do. Now, in YBCO, what was observed is that, first place, the onset is not as beautifully order parameter-like. Nonetheless, there's a quite a well-defined temperature at which the Kerr effect goes from zero within experimental error to non-zero and then rises. Now here's the problem. So it's definitely detecting something that looks an awful lot like a phase transition where a symmetry is broken. This data was published in 2008. It's since been seen to correlate, for instance, extremely well with the pneumatic transition temperature that Louis discussed yesterday. There's a very interesting data point in a sample that's near optimal doping, where the onset temperature at optimal doping is below TC. And so, as a function of doping, and has Kerr onset temperatures something like this, which is highly suggestive of a phase transition that marches down, at which a symmetry is broken, and there approaches a quantum critical point at, say, 19% doping. The biggest problem with interpreting this data is that if you heat the system up and cool it down, it always goes the same direction. This is known as the memory effect, and this was discussed at length in the first and all subsequent papers. This has been seen in YBCO, it's been seen in bismuth 22. Oh, one, is that it? What, single layer BISCO? It's been seen in LBCO, and it's been seen in mercury single layer. So it's been seen in a wide variety of cuprates. It has a very nice systematic dependence. In this material, coincident experiments on the same crystal were done with ARPIS, and it was seen that the Kerr onset coincides with the opening of a pseudogap. The problem is that it doesn't do what a spontaneous symmetry breaking signal is supposed to do. If time reversal and chiral symmetry are broken to give this signal, they must be broken at higher temperatures. One can imagine the spatial symmetries are somehow broken by some structural feature of the crystal. For instance, we've been told that YBCO crystals tend to have a small number of screw dislocations. But it's hard to understand how this could be associated with spontaneous time reversal symmetry breaking, given that this memory effect survives to the highest temperatures and for long periods of time. All right, so that, I think, is the summary of what we know about the Kerr effect.
So that implies that whatever is the nucleating source of this signal is a permanent property of each crystal.
It's a permanent property of each crystal, exactly. And so it's easy to imagine how spatial symmetries could get that. It's very hard to understand how time reversal symmetry could happen.
Can you comment with the fact that we observe above that line is a nice something?
Yeah, but they've heated up. So that's what Philippe says is that the neutron signal says that time reversal symmetry is broken at higher temperatures, but they've heated it up to still higher temperatures, in some cases up to 400 Kelvin. They've also tried to reverse the field by the Kerr effect by cooling in relatively large opposite direction magnetic fields up to 4 Tesla, and they can't train the effect.
Okay, look, I think what we are going to do now is, stay on stage, Steve, and we are going to call the 3 other speakers. Well, let's thank Steve again first.
It was very nice. This is the work of Aaron Kapitolnik.